Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Curtis Anderton Show. I am sitting on a hammock right now in my backyard, and I currently don't have my headphones in, so you might hear some wind blowing and maybe some background raindrops or something like that. So bear with me. I apologize. The sound quality is not as clear as normal. But I'm sitting out here on my hammock in my patio. I just woke up, actually. I got off night shift last night, and I slept from 8:30 to 1 p.m., just finished making some lunch. And now I'm just kind of having coffee and sitting on my hammock, just kind of reflecting on the night and what I have to get done today and working on some upscribe things. And I just wanted to share my night with you guys. I think that it was a really good example of what pretty much an average night as a paramedic looks like. And I think that it's something that I would like to share with you guys to give you kind of an inside scoop of what we go through on a regular basis that people don't really understand. A lot of the friends that I've talked to, when I tell them about my work, they kind of assume that it's just all crazy car accidents and stabbings and all this, like, overdoses and all these things. And people don't see what really goes on every single night of the week and what we do on a regular basis. And so I kind of wanted to just share what my evening was. So night shifts normally start, my shift started at 6 p.m. And I rolled up, got my uniform on, said hi to some of the coworkers, and continued on to kind of prepare for my shift. I checked the ambulance over. Before every shift, we go through everything in the ambulance, make sure we have the right amount of oxygen. Our AED is got full battery, and a bunch of different our equipment has batteries, so we have to make sure that they're full. And then I go over our first aid kit to make sure we have everything, and I like to organize it and clean it. Just to make sure that when the next call comes in, I'm not fumbling around looking for things. I know where everything is and everything's clean. And when crap hits the fan, I don't have to think about it. I can just open and grab exactly whatever I need, wherever that may be, without having to think about it. So we go over and clean everything. We sign into our computer. We sign into our GPS and our CAD, which is called, like, the computer system that we communicate with our dispatch with. And went back into our station to kind of just unwind until our first call came in. So last night, our first call came in around 8:30 p.m. And we were called to, the description was just on the CAD that there was an individual who could not get up. And they woke up and they were recently sick. And they were immobile. They could not get out of bed. So we're just going routine, which means just normal, basically normal speed limit, and took about a half an hour to get there. It was quite a ways away, and we roll up onto this property, and at first, the door was what we thought was locked, but it was actually just really sticky, and we couldn't get into this person's house. So we're looking through the main window, and we could see them laying on the couch, kind of screaming for us, like, I need help, you need to come in, I need help, and we couldn't get in. I did a perimeter on the house to try to find a way I could get in, maybe if a window I could climb through, something to be able to get to the patient, because we weren't sure what was going on, and they looked like they were not having a good day. Finally, I went up to the door, and I gave it a bit more of a shove when I tried to use the doorknob this time, and it flew open, luckily. There has been times in this situation where doors are locked, and we actually call the fire department, and they come and break into the house, as gentle as possible so that we can get to our patient. So anyways, we opened the door, and we entered, and our patient this evening was a person who was on the couch, slumped over, and extremely intoxicated. This individual is a alcoholic, and they drink extensively every single night, and on a regular basis call 911 because they're so intoxicated that they can't get off the floor, they can't get off the couch, or whatever it may be. So we have to make sure we do our due diligence. There's a couple other issues that could be going on that maybe looks like someone's drunk. For example, if a diabetic patient has a low blood sugar, they actually sometimes can appear like they're intoxicated. And you have to be very careful, because if you just assume that they're drunk and you treat them as such, and as far as like just transporting them and not giving them any not being giving them any sugar or basically interfering with what's going on, it can be very detrimental to that person. So we have to do due diligence, and we did all our assessments and asked all of our questions, and I went and talked to the wife while my partner attended to the patient, and it turned out to be just a very intoxicated person who needed literally to go to the drunk tank. In this case, it was a person who had to be taken to the hospital. The ER was very, very full, and they did not have room and for somebody who literally was drunk and needed to have a nap. So we had to find them a bed, and we put them in a corner room in the actual psychiatric unit, because that was the only space that they had available. And that person sat in that corner and slept and took up a nurse's time every hour to make sure that they were okay. And that was our hour and a half. We had to figure out a way to get this large human being off of the couch, onto our stretcher, out the door, transport them. And that is a pretty much a regular occurrence. I've had that call so many times where somebody has been extremely intoxicated and there's nothing that their spouse or family can do about it. So they go to the hospital to sleep it off. And it's an unfortunate truth, but it's a regular occurrence. The next call, we cleared from the hospital, we drove back home to our station, hung out, I ate some dinner, and then around 10:30 p.m. we got our next call, and this call was to a fall, where we had an elderly man who has a lot of comorbidities, meaning a lot of different medical issues that he's in his late years, maybe 80s, 90s, and is having he can't basically function on his own. So his wife had a hospital bed in the living room and was taking care of this person on her own with nursing care every week. And he had slip and fall out of the bed and onto the carpet floor. And of course, he was not an oversized human being, but I couldn't expect Shelby to pick me up off the floor if I couldn't even sit up, right? That's just, that would not work. So we were called to this household to lift this patient and put them back into bed. That was literally the call. We showed up, we made sure they were okay. We checked them from head to toe to make sure they didn't hurt anything. We did an assessment to make sure that their sugar levels were good, their blood pressure was okay, everything was all in order. We asked lots of questions, and we picked them up, put them back into bed, tucked them in, literally putting a blanket on them and tucking them in. In some cases, we literally get the TV remote for people and give it back to them, making sure they're okay, and they don't want to go to the hospital, and we can't force them to go to the hospital. And then we go on with our night. We get them to sign a couple waivers, and they don't want to go to the hospital. There's no need for them to go to the hospital, and they decide that they want to stay home, and we can't do much about that if that's the case, and they're not actually sick or injured. And so we said our goodbyes and went back to our station. And that call happens way more than you can imagine. Almost every single day, there is a full... Oh, no, guaranteed every day. For our station, like average once a day, potentially, or give or take. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but most times there's a case where somebody falls, whether it's from standing or out of bed or out of the couch, and they can't get back up. A lot of those calls, we just, we call them codexing somebody, where they just stay home. We take them to the hospital because they can't stay home alone because they can't walk and they need medical assistance. But it happens on a regular basis. I didn't do any crazy interventions. I didn't use my skills. It was just human interaction, making sure they were comfortable, putting them back in bed, and heading on our way. But if we weren't doing that, there's no one else available for that type of work. There's not a nursing line that nurses can go and assist and lift those patients. The fire department doesn't do it. The police don't do it. For the most part, police would do it if there was some sort of aggravation, assault, abuse kind of going on, the police would be there. But in this case, it was us. We showed up, lifted the patient back into bed, and it was on our way. That was a very regular call. Now, our last call of the evening came in around 2:30 in the morning, and this was a patient, it's a palliative patient who had was in end-stage cancer, and their dementia, unfortunately, started to increase quite a bit over the last couple days, and they were very difficult to work with. They believed that their family was trying to harm them when they were really a lovely family taking very, very good care of this person. It was very overwhelming and stressful for the family to be experiencing this, where their loved one is not knowing who they are, treating them really rudely when they're just trying to be there for support. And it's very hard to watch. It's heartbreaking. It really is. And so in that situation, the family was so overwhelmed and they couldn't really take it anymore, as far as they were just pushed to their limit of care at this point. And there's only so much people can do. And so we transported that patient to the hospital to literally, for one, of course, to get this patient an assessment done, to talk about if they need any medication changes, check out their mentation to see about this dementia. But a big part of it was giving the family a rest, and how thankful they were that two kind faces came in, treated them with very much respect, took very good care of their loved one, and transported them and was able to give them a night off or two nights off is a very big deal in a lot of cases. And that was my run night. I didn't do any crazy interventions the entire night. I didn't start one IV. I didn't really use any airway equipment. There was nothing that was really special as far as skills go. And it was all just interpersonal skills and connecting with people and being empathetic and understanding what was going on and respecting them and being there in the moment for them. And that is 90%, 80% of my job as being a paramedic, is just connecting with somebody in the moment that they're in and how they, whatever they need, not being judgmental, and doing my very best to help them in whatever that may be. And that's a very average night for paramedics. Sometimes you'll get that car accident thrown in there, or that really sick patient that you actually have to do some things, and you're driving real fast to get back to the hospital to make sure that they don't crash on you. But that was kind of an average night. And I just wanted to share that. I was just kind of processing. And you know what? Last night was really rewarding for me. In a funny way, I've had nights where I got to use a lot of skills, and I was busy, and it was intense, and police were involved, and fire were involved, and all these things were going on, and it was fun, but it was not as rewarding as last night was, because I was able to connect with somebody on a very pretty special level in a moment of stress and anxiety for them, and make their life just a little bit better in that moment, and make their family's life a little bit better, and give some assistance in wherever we can. And to be honest, it's an honor to be able to do that. To walk into somebody's house in a moment of high stress, and a lot of times very sad moments, and provide comfort for people. To be able to build a rapport with somebody and they've never seen you before, and be able to connect with somebody and be there for them in a way that people don't forget. And it's very, very special. I've had a lot of people ask me, why are you becoming a paramedic? They go to the worst things. They see the worst things. They get treated so poorly. They don't get paid enough. All these things. Why are you becoming a paramedic? Last night is a large reason why I became a paramedic, is to be able to help people in such a special way. And I'm honored to be able to do that. Of course, there's a lot of things that I would prefer to be better within my job, but you can't beat driving an ambulance in the middle of the night and helping somebody in those kind of moments, in a small way, and seeing change, and hearing thank yous, and meeting really amazing people that no one will ever know about. And I think it's pretty cool to be able to have a front seat kind of to life. I had a police officer friend of ours say that being a first responder is like being in the two front seats of a roller coaster when it comes to like the roller coaster of life. And it's true. We see all the dark stuff in the world. We see all the good stuff in the world, all the things that the average person would never witness or be a part of. And we get to see it on a regular basis. And it's a blessing and a curse at the same time. There's things I wish I never will ever have to see. And there's things that will change my life forever. and it is a very special part of my job and my career. Anyways, I just wanted to share that. Partially, just to kind of express how I was feeling right now and the thankfulness for what I'm doing in my life, as well as to just kind of give more awareness of what an average day as a paramedic looks like. There's a lot of change that needs to go on within the service that I work for, and I think that that won't change unless there's more awareness. And I also want people to become paramedics because it's such a special job. And if you guys ever have any questions about the industry or the service, let me know. I'd love to answer any of those questions. And if you guys have any topics that you'd like me to cover on the podcast, please send me a message on Facebook or text me if you have my phone number. I would love to hear from you. I really appreciate just you guys tuning in. And I hope that you guys tune in for more episodes to come. I plan to talk about more different things and skills and stuff that I've picked up while being a paramedic and things that I'm learning, as well as some other things that I'm working on. So I'd love to hear from you guys. Bless you all, you beautiful people, and I'll catch you in the next one. Remember, you have what it takes. Go do something amazing today.